Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Apologies to the worship team for moving all their stuff, but hey. That song we just sung was very fitting for today, You Are My King. We're going to be looking today in the second installment of our new series. My eyes aren't quite that good, sorry. The second installment of our new series is, we're going to look at, say, the King we serve. And just as we're getting ready to come up the front, while we were singing that and the words we were singing, and we were all singing heartily those words. You are my king. You are my king. You are my king. I want to ask you a question this morning is, and what we're going to look at as we turn to 2 Corinthians in a few moments is Jesus actually my king? Do I want, really, if I take away all the Christianese and all the answers that if we've been around church that we know we should give, do I really want him to be my king? Or do I want me to be my king? And we're going to unpack that a little bit as we look into God's word this morning. I'll move that because I'm really great at knocking over cups of water here in Bethel. Before we do, let's have a look. If you've got your Bible with you, if you could turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're just going to read 10 verses from verse 11 through to verse 21. And it reads, since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we were out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Why don't we pray this morning and ask the Lord to speak to us through his word. Heavenly Father, we just do pray that you would just be amongst us by your spirit this morning, that you would speak to us through your words, Lord, that you would just make them real to us, Lord. You would just open our hearts, Holy Spirit, to what it is you have for us to hear today. I pray, Lord, we would just feel like we've been in your presence this morning. Father, we thank you for an amazing worship team who've led us to this point already this morning, Lord. And I just do pray, as you speak to us, Lord, we would just be here with open hearts and open minds just to respond to you and to the words you have for us today. We ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. So we sing those words, you are my king. So if I'm honest with myself, outside of these four walls, do I call him king regularly in my life? It's easy to say that here, isn't it? It's easy to say that and put our hands up saying, you are my king here, because it's a safe place to do that. Because everyone else is singing the same thing. Everyone else is kind of agreeing with you about what you're singing. But when I leave here and I go into my workplace, or I go to my school, or I go back to my home, am I still saying the same thing? Am I still there metaphorically sometimes, even with my arms open wide, saying, you are my King, Jesus? Would people that met me, or people that know me outside of these four walls, would they know that? Would they know that he is King and Lord of my life? How might they know that? How do we communicate that message to people outside of here who don't speak the same language as we do? We create a different language and a different set of terms, a different set of words within these four walls that we all understand. But how would we communicate that to somebody else outside of here if he truly is my King? And if he's my King, and if you get the connotation of a king, am I serving him if he's my King? With a capital K. Or am I living my life serving myself? How does that demonstrate in my life if I'm saying that he's number one in my life? He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the most important thing in my life, the most important person in my life. Using Paul's words here, what kind of ambassador am I for him? In my previous life, I worked for a tool company for about 16 or 17 years. It was a small family business. There's only about seven of us working there. And I started off packing parcels and things and worked my way up and was the manager after a few years. And we had a very interesting boss. She no longer runs the business. She's since sold it on. And I worked for this lady for 16 or 17 years. Now, in a social setting, we'd go out with colleagues from work, and we went to see the 2020 in Birmingham. If you don't like cricket, watch 2020, you might actually understand it. But we went out to the 2020 games, so we'd go out for a meal. She was great. She was amazing. It was great. You'd come into work, though, and it'd be like Jekyll and Hyde. And you didn't know when you came into work if she was already there. You'd kind of tiptoe in, because you didn't know what kind of atmosphere you were. You're almost afraid to go in and say, hi, Maggie, because it might be, oh, hello, how are you? It might be, what's going on? You know, at 8:30 in the morning. And sometimes, you know, it was all guys that worked there. I think she took conscious decisions not to employ women. Not that you're supposed to do that, but that's kind of how it works. And sometimes she'd come out blaring in and say, oh, this is what I want. And it was her business. And sometimes, probably wrongly, we'd sit there and we'd listen. And then we go and do completely the opposite, because we actually knew that the good thing for the business was not to do that. And the customers were happy and everyone was happy, and as long as she didn't find out, that was okay. That was probably the wrong thing to do. But it's a good example, really, of how we treat the King, isn't it? In here, we're all, yeah, you're great, you're amazing, this is so wonderful. But we leave here, we go back into our own situations and we do completely the opposite. Because we think we know best. I think I know better than he does for my life. I think I know better than he does for those of my family. And we do exactly the same thing that we used to do in that work environment. Is we say one thing here, and we have put this picture of ourselves here, where we, you know, this holy aura. And if it was allowed for us to put our own halos on, I'm sure we'd wear one to church sometimes. But we go out from here and we do completely the opposite. So as we look into this, last week, Keith was talking about the gospel that we declare. And he talked about a movie called The Notebook. And there's a scene in that movie where it starts off, Keith was telling us, I don't know how many of you have gone off and watched it this week. Anyone? No? I was thinking about it, but didn't get around to it. But he was telling us a scene in that where there's this guy telling a story to this lady. And it turns out, as you unpack the movie and you watch the movie, this is her husband. And she's got memory loss, and every day he's telling her the story of their lives together. And last week we were looking at how oftentimes we can forget the story we're part of. And a question I'd like to ask is, have we lost the wonder of what it means to follow King Jesus in our lives? Have we lost the wonder? I want to read a quote to you, which I think is on the screen, and it says, If you read the Great Commission, apologies if you were hands-on yesterday, you already had this one, but if you read the Great Commission, you may not realize that it is about world revolution. A world revolution promised through Abraham, come to life in Jesus and living on in his people today. This is what our hearts hunger for, even when we don't know how to approach it or how to go about it. Guys, this isn't just something we get together on a Sunday so we can talk to people in a different language and they can feel good about ourselves. The Great Commission that Keith read last week, and that as we look through, still unpacking about discipleship, where Jesus says, go and make disciples. This is about world revolution. If you're a follower of Jesus, we should be revolutionaries. Think about that for a moment. What does the first picture that, when you say revolutionaries, what's the first picture that pops into mind? It might be someone like Che Guevara, perhaps, or someone like that. We are the resistance, if you like, if we're followers of Jesus. We are the ones that should be out there. We should be putting ourselves out there. We are the ones that should be praying against the devil's schemes. We are the ones that should be excited about our faith. We should have a wonder, an awe, a sense of purpose, a sense of cause if we're following Jesus. You know, you hear stories about World War II, about the resistance in France and how they risked their very lives because they were fighting for their country. You know, you hear about spies going through, and there's lots and lots of movies about it. This is how we should be as Christians in this country. This is not a Christian country. We are in the minority. There's a piece of research done, if you're in hands-on, forgive me because you've heard this before, called the Talking Jesus Research. Google it if you've never heard it. They estimate that practicing Christians in this country are below around about 5 or 6% of practicing Christians. 65 million people in the country, do the maths. Guys, this is it. If we are committed to following Jesus, this is about revolution. This is about turning the world upside down because we have to. Keith talked a bit about last week as well about what that looks like. I want to show you a video if I can now. This is one by Jake John. If you've been around for a couple of years, you might have seen this. And this is what he's got to say about what he does.
People often say to me, they say, Jay John, you know, what do you do? It's always very difficult to know what to say. Because if I say to you that I'm a reverend, which I am, that conjures up certain images in people's minds as to what I might be. So I like to be a little bit creative in telling people what I do. I sat next to this lady on an aeroplane at Heathrow Airport. And I said, hello. And she said, oh, hello. And I said, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to Singapore. Then she said to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Australia. I said, what do you do? So she told me. Then she said, what do you do? And I said, well, I work for a global enterprise. She said, do you? I said, yes, I do. I said, we've got outlets in nearly every country of the world. She said, have you? I said, yes, we have. I said, we've got hospitals and hospices and homeless shelters. I said, we do marriage work. We've got orphanages. We've got feeding programs, educational programs. I said, we do all sorts of justice and reconciliation things. I said, basically, we look after people from birth to death and we deal in the area of behavioral alteration. She went, wow! And it was so loud, her wow, loads of people turned around and looked at us. She says, what's it called? I said, it's called the church. Really, isn't it? If we are a follower of Jesus, wow, then we are part of a global enterprise. But not only is it global, it's intergalactic because it includes everyone that's gone before us.
Wow.
I love that clip because that's what it's about. It's about, and I'm glad he put the bit in there as well, if you were a follower of Jesus, everything he said is not just for the professionals. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you call yourself a disciple of Jesus, all of that includes you. All of that includes you. Part of an intergalactic enterprise with that kind of images of Star Wars or Battlestar Galactica or whatever it might be, that's what it is. It's intergalactic because also it's supernatural. Of a king who is supernatural. What's our response to that? Are we there now, like the other passengers going, wow, this is amazing, this is really cool. What is it? It's the church. Oh, wow. Have we lost our wow? Have we lost the awesomeness of what it is we're involved with if we're a follower of Jesus? Have we lost that? Oftentimes we talk about a time, if you've been a Christian for a while, you can go back to a time when you first came to Christ and how everything was new and everything was exciting. And things change as we get to know him more. And as we get to know him on a deeper level, things change. A bit like relationships change. Holly and I are celebrating 20 years being married this year. I know some of you guys, that's a drop in the ocean, but hey, it's a big number for us. In our relationship over the years, it's changed from the years we first met, and it took me about 4 weeks to ask her out because I was dead nervous. And my mate said, "You better ask her out, otherwise she's going to go." And so I put up, couldn't I? And our relationship's changed, but it becomes different, and it changes, and it's deeper. And our love changes, but it grows deeper as we get to know each other better. And that's how our relationship with our king should be. And we haven't always got the massive, massive excitement we had when we first came to know him. But actually, that should be deeper. That should be a much deeper, much more meaningful relationship that we have with our king. So as we're talking about the king we serve today, I've got a picture, someone's image you might recognize. And you can shout out, who's this? Who's this lovely lady? Queen Elizabeth II just celebrated a birthday recently. You may or may not have been aware of that. So when I was in infant school in Telford, where I lived at the time, this was probably 1982 or 1983. That's your cue for saying, he doesn't look that old. 1982, 1983. The Queen came to Telford. And we spent weeks. We were making flags, paper flags, because those were the days where you made everything in school. There was no money or anything like that. So making paper flags, we were making banners, we were doing bunting. Seemed like we were doing this endlessly for weeks. And the day she was to come to town, we all collected all our stuff, our little paper flags on paper straws, collected all of our stuff and waited, a big long line of us along the main road in Donington where we lived. And she came in a high top, sort of Rolls Royce, and I vaguely have a recollection of her sort of going by, you know, about 20 miles an hour, but going by like this. It was a bit, and that was it, oh, she was gone. But I can say, I've seen the Queen, because that fleeting about 10 seconds, and she was gone. And it's exciting to see, isn't it, whether you're a royalist or not. If the Queen pulled up with a car in our car park, you'd be like, whoa, you wouldn't be able to get to the windows. You'd be like, whoa, who's that? You know, but Barry would be there holding the door open for her, just like he does for all of us, mind, actually. He doesn't treat anyone differently. But you'd be really excited, wouldn't we? Imagine one day if your phone went off and it was an unknown number. If you're like me, I try to avoid unknown numbers at the moment, but you answered it. And it was Queen Elizabeth on the other end of the phone. Just imagine it for a minute. Whether you're for the royal family or not, this is one of the best known people in the entire planet. And just imagine if she was on the phone, if you could keep the phone to your ear, that is, your mouth would drop, you'd be like, imagine she asked you to do something. Just think about that for a moment. The Queen of England called you up and said, Josh, I want you to do something for me. You'd be like, yeah, of course I will. How quickly do you want that done by? And can I have your number? Maybe, I don't know, maybe you might say that or not. But that'd be your response, wouldn't you? You'd be like, wow, this is the Queen of England, has called me on the phone. You'd be all over, if it was, if you were on social media, be all over Twitter, be all over Facebook. Your friends would be going, no, maybe you had a few too many drinks the night before. Yeah, that wasn't the Queen on the phone to you. You'd be massively excited, wouldn't you? You'd be like, out of the world, you'd tell everybody. You would tell the entire universe. That'd be your most popular Facebook post ever, full stop. That would be it. Definitely would be. Last week, we had an amazing time here last Sunday afternoon for Erin's baptism. And we looked at a passage from Mark chapter 2 where they let a layman in, a man who was paralyzed, into the roof. And we talked last week about the huge, huge crowds that thronged to come to see Jesus wherever he went. Massive crowds. He was the celebrity of the time. And a lot of people came to him just because of the celebrity factor. But although massive, massive crowds came to see Jesus, huge numbers, multitudes, thousands, he fed 5,000, he fed 6,000, huge, huge numbers came to see him. How many people actually chose to follow him? Look towards the end of the Gospels. How many people are still hanging around? His disciples are still there, although they're hiding. And they're denying him. But how many people are still there? Think about that for a moment. Think about what our response might be if the queen called me on the phone. See, the thing is, that would be every, without doubt, that would be definitely every one of our responses if the queen called you on the phone. But you see, we've got one even better. If we're a follower of Jesus, the King of Kings that trumps Zion Works Elizabeth, hands down, he doesn't even have to ring you. He doesn't even have to call you on the phone. To get your attention, he just has to speak to you. If we've already identified as a follower of Jesus, if you can put your hand up and say, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a disciple of Jesus in this room today, our relationship with him should be so, so much less distant than a call from Queen Elizabeth. Just think about that for a moment. Think about how we would respond to Liz, how we respond to the King of Kings every single day, who by his Spirit is living within you, as God's word tells us. And we'll say in this room that, yes, I believe that, yes, yes, I believe that. But we go from here and we live a life, oftentimes I live a life that doesn't reflect that. And if I really think about that for long enough, that hurts me. And if I read the scripture, that sort of hurts him as well. So what is this king that we talk about? Who is this King of Kings that we serve and that we follow? In the passage I read earlier in 2 Corinthians, in verse 20, Paul says he sees himself as an ambassador. It reads, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We're an ambassador for Christ. So what does an ambassador do? Ambassador is a representative of the government or of the king or of the queen, normally in a foreign country. Guys, let me explain something to you. Paul said he's an ambassador for Christ. He's his representative. Can I just say, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are living in a foreign country. You are living in a different country if you're a follower of Jesus today. Philippians 3:20, let me read that to you. I think it's coming up on the screen. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. I'm an anomaly. I have two passports. All of our children have two passports. So we have dual citizenship between here and America. That was quite important for us as a family for them to have that opportunity. So you might have, we went down to London the other day a few weeks ago. We all had to go to the embassy in person because they have to do that in the American embassy. And you have to register all these children and pay them a lot of money to register their birth. And so now we've got, I think, in the family, if we travel anywhere, we have to take 11 passports with us to travel for six of us. Because we thought that was quite important, because it gives our children, through Holly and I were both born in the States, gives them a choice when they're older. They could live here, they could live in the States, they can do whatever. So that was quite important for us. But actually, no matter how much of a nationalist you may be or you may not be, Paul says to the Philippian church, your citizenship is in heaven. There's an old song that says, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Do you remember that song? There was a Sunday school version through it as well. Do we really believe that? In this room, of course, we're going to say, of course, yes, I believe that. Yes, I do. But do our lives reflect that? That our citizenship is not here? Are we collecting as much stuff and getting as many things together here on this life without a thought for the next? Think about it. Our life here on this earth compared to eternity, it's not even a drop in the ocean. And we struggle with that concept because eternity is a concept that we don't understand because we're so focused on time. We live in time and space, don't we? We live in a clock that's got 24 hours in it. We live in a year that's got 365 days in it most of the time. And it's really difficult to understand. A bit like when astrologers tell you that space goes on forever. It's hard for us to understand. But it tells us in God's word that actually, just as that guy sung, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. If we're a follower of Jesus today, if we're truly saying that we are serving a king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, then we're his ambassador in a foreign country. If we're a follower of Jesus, this is not your home. This is not my home. This is just temporary. Jesus talks about it, doesn't he? He said, the things of this earth will pass away. Like wood, hay, and stubble, he talks about. Where are we putting our energy today? We're putting our energy in this life. And there's nothing wrong with having a nice house. There's nothing wrong with those things. But what are our priorities in this life? What are our priorities? Are our priorities to serve the King of Kings, to be his ambassador, to be his representative? Or, if we're honest with ourselves, are we busy serving ourselves? Because if we're truly honest with ourselves outside of these four walls, the only king in my life is me, and there's only room for one. Here's a question. I thought about this week, and it really, really challenged me. If I was employed as an ambassador for the king, would I be tried for treason? There's a question, isn't it? If I was an ambassador for the King of Kings, would I be tried for treason? If I'm an ambassador for the British government in a foreign country, I'm promoting their interests, I'm promoting trade, I've got things that I'm doing on behalf of that government, on behalf of that country. As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, how does my life reflect the ambassadors in this world? Am I promoting his agenda? Am I sharing the things of Jesus? Am I living a life that points to Jesus? Or, if I'm an ambassador, would I be tried for treason? Because actually, I'm not promoting him at all. I'm promoting a completely different agenda. I'm living my life by a completely different agenda. Guys, we need to understand, and I need to understand more, that this is the king that we serve, the king that we follow, who trumps every other royalty or every other politician, who trumps anyone else in your life. We see from this passage in 1 Corinthians that Paul really, really understood this. In 2 Corinthians, sorry. Going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 11, Paul says, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God. And I hope is also plain to your conscience. Skip down to verse 13. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Paul says here it was really, really, really clear to people who came into contact with him, who he was working for. It was really, really, really clear, without shadow of doubt, who he was an ambassador for. And he says here in verse 13, if we are out of our mind, it is for God. Out of our mind. Crazy for the king. Could someone call me crazy for the king? Could someone say, he's out of his mind, look what he's doing for that Jesus? I would hope they could, but I'm not so sure. Could someone say, look at him, he's mad, look at all the things he's given up for Jesus? And it's not about giving up stuff, by the way. It's not that at all. It's not about material things. And it's not about being in this building as much as you can possibly be either. Because then I would probably call you crazy as well. But it's about living a life where people are looking at you and can see emanating from you is Jesus. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. If people were to follow me, would I be leading them to Jesus through the things I say, through the places I go, through my actions? But what's interesting in verse 14 of that same passage, why is Paul out of his mind? Why is he going crazy? For Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us. See, this is the difference between being an ambassador in this life for a king in this life. So if you're an ambassador, you get your orders through from the prime minister, probably in this country, or from the king, and they say, oh, this is kind of our agenda. This is what we want you to promote. And you kind of follow those, I would guess. I've never met an ambassador. I used to have an uncle that used to work in the foreign, some dodgy section of the foreign office, but I've never met an ambassador. So I'm kind of guessing that's kind of what they do. But the difference with the king we serve is, rather than a distant king and a different country send us orders, the king we serve is right there beside us. The king we serve is there holding us through, carrying us through, encouraging us. The king we serve is in this very room with us. And it's for a completely different set of reasons, as Paul says in verse 14. For Christ's love compels us. It compels us, it drives us, it convinces me that I have no other choice but to serve this king. I have no other choice but to live for this king. Because it tells us in verse 15 why. Verse 15 reads, I'll read it again. Because he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but him who died for them and was raised again. Because if I'm his ambassador, if I'm a follower of Jesus, if I call myself a disciple of Jesus, it says here, should no longer live for themselves, but for him. It means I don't live for me anymore. It means that my priorities are different. It means the things that are important to me should be different. And if you were here for the baptism last week, and the other baptisms we've had, there's such an amazing time. But something we've been talking about as a leadership, and we've been saying to our baptism candidates, is that you, by doing this, by committing your life to follow Jesus, you're rescinding your right to say no. You're giving up your right to say no to him. Because you're displaying to yourself and also to everybody else that my life is now different. That I've accepted Christ. Here's my testimony. If you're here for Aaron's baptism, it's amazing. I want to get baptized. I want to be baptized. I'm Aaron Gray and I want to be baptized. It was amazing. But actually, as we go through that and as we accept Christ and as we follow him, and that's the key, as we follow the king, we're giving up our right to say no to him. We're giving up our right to say, actually, I'm going to forget about you. I'm going to keep you in my back pocket in case I need you. And I'm going to go in this direction. And I'm going to do this with my life. I'm going to do this with my job. I'm going to do this with my family. I want to live here. I want to move here. And this is what I want to do. In and of themselves, all of that is good. All that could be fine. But actually, is that, when do we stop to ask Jesus? When do we stop and on our knees say, King Jesus, as your ambassador, where do you want me to go? King Jesus, as your ambassador, where do you want me to live? King Jesus, as your ambassador, where do you want me to work? King Jesus, as your ambassador, who do you want me to speak to today? King Jesus, as your ambassador, I'm at the bus stop. Send someone my way who needs a touch from you today, as I'm your ambassador here on these streets, here on this bus stop, waiting for the bus to get into town. How often do we ask those questions of ourselves? How often are we brave enough to pray those prayers to King Jesus? We've rescinded our right to say, no, I am crucified with Christ, yet I no longer live. Galatians 2:20. We've talked about that a lot over the last few weeks. It's not about me anymore. If I've chosen to follow Jesus, I'm pretty much down here on the list. But we flip it around so much, and oftentimes our lives, and oftentimes my life, you would see something different. You would see Josh's things that are important to me up here, and the things that are important to Jesus down here. Guys, we need to get that the right way round. If we're ambassadors, if we're truly following Jesus, his things, the things that are important to him, which they're revealed in here to us, guys. They need to be here. If we're an ambassador, that's our job. It's not a nice to do. It's not something I'll get around to. That's your job. That's my job, to promoting his interests here in a foreign country. Because this world is not my home. Because someday, Jesus is coming back. Someday, he will return. It's promised in God's word. He will come back through the clouds. More than likely through the clouds here. Are we looking to that day? Are we looking forward to that day? Paul says we don't shouldn't be looking around with our head in the sky, but are we living our life like he might come back this afternoon? I've got to be honest with you, a lot of times I'm not. But this is what Paul's talking about. This is the wow that J. John was saying. It's wow, look at what he's done for me. Christ's love compels me. It drives me so much that I can do nothing else. And you know what? He's coming again. Isn't that amazing? Not only did he die for me in my place, not only did he rise again and defeat death, not only did it open up a massive way to the Father for me, but he's going to come back for me. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that exciting? Can we not say wow to that today? And if he tarries and I depart from this life before he comes back, I know I've got a citizenship, as Paul talks about, in heaven. He's already prepared a place for me. Tells us in John. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that something we can get excited about in this room? Isn't that something we should be excited about as we go out of this room? We forget this too much, guys. Honestly, I forget this too much. The worries of this life, it tells us in Scripture, it drags us down, it pulls us down. But guys, we need to be looking up. If you're a follower of Jesus, no matter what clouds are surrounding you, can I just encourage you today to look up? We've got some high windows. We can look up now. You can look out of the windows now. Wouldn't it be amazing if Jesus came today? Wouldn't that be wonderful? I know, Derek, you've put a lot of effort into this barbecue. But wouldn't that just be amazing if Jesus came back today? Guys, this is how Paul says he's living his life. I'm living my life like this is it. In the 80s and 90s, there was it was called contemporary then. It probably wouldn't be sent now. A Christian singer called Stephen Curtis Chapman. If you were listening to Christian music, that's that sort of time, you might have heard of him. And he had a song, and it was, I'm living my next 5 minutes like it's my last 5 minutes. I won't sing it to you because I don't sing as well as Keith does. But I'm living my next. Imagine if we had a 5 minute warning. If we had a 5 minute warning, our phone rang, and it was King Jesus, and he said, you've got 5 minutes. He says, either I'm coming back in 5 minutes or you've got 5 minutes left in your life and I'm coming for you. What would we do? What would we do, guys? How much would that, what would that 5 minutes look like? Paul says, I'm living my entire life just in case, just on the hope, because I'm looking for Jesus to come back. I want to see that King of Kings. I want to be taken up into the clouds with my King when he returns. I'm excited about that, Paul says. It compels me. It drives me. It trumps everything. We need to get a wow back. We need to understand who this King is. who this king is in my life, where he needs to be in my life, what needs to be important to us. I think all of us, we need to reorientate our lives. I need to reorientate my life a lot of the time, guys. Because I'm not looking to the clouds. I'm looking down here. I'm looking at what is in front of me. I'm getting dragged in. Satan's dragging me into this life. And guys, that's what he will do. That's where Satan will pull you back. But keep looking up to the clouds for King Jesus. I've got another video to show you. I played this in November, but I'm not going to apologize because the words in it are amazing. And then afterwards, I want to see if we can go into a time of prayer afterwards.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek.
That's my king. Do you know him? Do we truly know him? And if we know him, we can't outlive him. We can't live without him. Do you know what? Is it said in that video? Death couldn't handle him. The grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Is that our king today? Is that the king that we serve? Is that the king really, truly in my life? If I take all the rubbish away, is that the king that I once got excited about? Guys, we need to get back to that. Wow, that this is my king, King Jesus. I'm going to proclaim his name from the rooftops. I'm going to make sure he's the center of my household, of my family. I'm going to make sure he's the center of my workplace. I want to change the culture of where I work because this king is so important. This king means so much to me. This is the king of kings. Guys, I want to see if we can do something now for the next few months, just as the music group come. And if you guys can just play some music. I don't want to ask you to come to the front. That's a bit daunting. That's a bit strange, isn't it? I wonder, for a few minutes, maybe with someone you're sat next to, maybe with someone else in the room that God's placed on your heart, maybe just on your own, could we collectively just come to the Lord in prayer at this time? If we've got our priorities, make sure I don't fall asleep, if I've got those priorities the wrong way around, let me tell you, on your own, flipping that over is almost impossible. But let's just get on our knees today and let's just pray as a congregation. Lord, help me. I need your help to get my priorities back right. I need your help, Holy Spirit, to put you back on top, King Jesus. I need to get that wow factor back. I need to understand how important this is. I need to stop looking at the floor and I need to be looking up. King Jesus, by your Spirit, will you help me do that today? Can we do that as a congregation? Can we do that together? Can we just pray? If there's someone else that God's laid on your heart, then go and pray with them. Pray with who's sat next to you. Can we just do all the prayer on your own? Can we just do that for a few moments? Is our music group play? And as we go into our last worship time.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.